Listen to me carefully. Hi, y'all. What did that tell you about me, the way I said those two words?
You're a good old-fashioned Southern boy.
Thank you. You get $64,000.
I could use it.
Ron, say this word, please.
All right.
Alan.
I.
Now, what did that just tell you about those two dearly beloved Christian gentlemen?
They're rednecks.
So one's a gang.
One says
educated and the other one.
That was a problem.
This leads us into today's the last discussion. It's shibboleth. Now if you will, turn to Judges, please. Judges chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. In other words, there were certain places you could cross. And it was so when the Ephraimites, which were escaped, let me go over, and that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? Now, was he going to tell the truth? Or was he going to own up to who he was? So here was the test. Here was the rub. If he said nay, then they gave him a test. As we see in verse 6, it was similar to what I just said. You all, or y'all. She readily picked out where I was from. Then said they unto him, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sib-oleth. You have the SH versus an S. That seems so trivial, but let's go on and see what happened. For he could not frame to pronounce it right. So he was natural. He could say Shibboleth. He said Thibboleth. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. What we just read was, is the Gileadites and the Ephraimites were into it. They were fighting. The Gileadites were controlling the passage of Jordan where these refugees were trying to go back home. And when they got there, they gave them a test. And if they had known how to say Shibboleth, in other words, they would have deceived them and they could have went on home. But they showed who they truly were by simply how they pronounced a word, or mispronounced it by Shibboleth, kind of a lisp, if you will. Shibboleth is a kind of linguistic password, if you will, a way of speaking, pronunciation, or the use of a particular expression that is used by one set of the people to identify another person as a member or non-member of a particular group. So when I said, hi, y'all, that gave me away. The group making the identification has some kind of social power to set the standards for who belongs to their group, or who is in, or who is out. As we've already pointed out, the Ephraimites gave away who they were by how they said a given word. And if they'd had time to practice up on it, they would have saved them, but they were just naturally who they were. What is the point of this? That's identification, unwitting identification. Now, was it just a word just to be said, and they just liked the way they heard it, versus they didn't know? They wanted to know who they were. And in this case, it was an Ephraimite. But our faith is subject to like demonstration.
Peter in Matthew 26 and 73.
After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. My southern Dixie voice bewrayeth me. As we look at the idea of this word pronunciation of a reflection of who we are within, we note that from a Christian standpoint, what we say or what we do unwittingly is going to be a reflection of our walk before Jesus Christ. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, by faith Moses, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and on, and Barak. And it says in time would fail to tell of the prophets, faith in action. We know from Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's the context of that? The cloud of witnesses is from division 11 or chapter 11 of Hebrews. The cloud of witnesses of faith. Let us lay aside every weight, if you will, shibboleth, and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Are we an Ephraimite? Are we a Christian? Does our words and actions show who we truly are from within? Let us lay aside every weight, everything that would hinder us from getting to go across Jordan to our spiritual homes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God, for considered him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So where do we go wrong? We get weary. How many times has my daddy told me, he said, son, life is not a brass band. Implying was, son, they just sometimes things are not fun and you just have to pony up and be a man and do what you need to do. Yeah, we like being entertained. We like fun. We like going places, reading books and doing things. But sometimes we just simply have to fight the good fight of faith. Pick up our cross. We're warned against unbelief or shibboleth, if you will. Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The Ephraimites gave themselves away by wrong pronunciation. Now that's in the negative. But if we say we're a Christian, how are we going to demonstrate that? Maybe it's unwittingly by speech or action, or be that as it may. But we got to be careful about a spiritual shibboleth and departing in unbelief. Continuing from division 3 of Hebrews and 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And your shibboleth causes you to not be able to go to your spiritual home across Jordan. For we are made protectors of Christ if we hold. We're not Calvinists. We don't believe that we're illuminated with the Holy Spirit against our will and that we're eternally secure. We know that if we obey and we continue and fight the good fight and hold on to faith, if we hold the beginning of our confidence,
steadfast unto the end, whether we live 2 or 3 years or 50 years in the Christian faith. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So if Timmy's heart gets hardened, it will be because I have turned from the Bible, I have turned from God, my faith is decreased, the Holy Spirit has been grieved, and I'm walking in lust and sin and lack of faith. Thus, our faith must endure. Hebrews 6:11-12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful. That's one thing to be slothful about, say, vacuuming. And I'm not advocating that. But where we really don't need to be slothful is with our spiritual body. I don't obviously, but some folks go on diets and exercise and they're taking care of their physical being. But that's not going to last. The soul is what's going to last, and we must feed it with every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ye have need of patience, Hebrews 10:36-37. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. If we see someone that is the same every time we see them, always patiently enduring, and it is no show that they're putting on, and it is just simply unwittingly continuing in the Lord, that is their shibboleth. They are showing who they truly are in the positive. 10:38-39 of Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith. Where does faith come from? The Holy Spirit was told by God to tell man to pen it. Well, we don't have a Wi-Fi. We do with the Holy Spirit to help our infirmities and give us nudges and guides. But when it comes to faith, so that Romans 10:17, so that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And we do that by study, read, search, and meditate. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Faith without works is dead. Not saved by works. We weren't extended salvation by works, but we receive it by an obedient faith, which is works. Number one, we need to lay some things aside. We need to lay our spiritual shibboleths to the side. We are to run the race. Now, me and Ron, we're going to run a foot race against Fred and Wendell. Well, Billy, we're probably going to lose. You don't mind me picking on you, do you? Because if you look at us from a physical standpoint, we've got shibboleth. Now let's turn that inward to our spirit. We got to lose as much weight, spiritual weight, as possible without hurting the performance. Spiritual weight would be anything that God says you got to get rid of. Physical race, you know, clothing that's light, allows freedom of movement. Spiritual race, get rid of lust and pride and jealousy. Luke 21 and beginning with 34. We've got to lay aside every weight and look at and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Now that is spiritual fact, spiritual shibboleth, spiritual unbelief. Those are weights that must be laid aside. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray. So this is action or exercise to get rid of shibboleth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall become, that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Colossians 3:8. But now also put off all these. This is fat, shibboleth. This is spiritual things that we've got to get rid of. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The sin which so easily ensnares us, that shibboleth that will keep us from crossing Jordan into our spiritual homes. We simply must, number two, endure. The race of faith is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. You get in and run and you cross the line and you receive according to what you've done when you cross the line. This race requires sustained effort. Not a quick burst of energy, but just simply endurance. Keep on keeping on. In the parable of the sower in Luke 8:12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They heard the word, and here come temptation. What should they have done? Endured. Not look for brass bands like Dad always told me, but just simply do what you're supposed to do. Jesus in his discourse on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We can develop the patience we need from the Holy Scriptures. Romans 15:4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In conclusion, we have shibboleths in our life, and we have that ultimate shibboleth that we allow to entice us across the line of temptation, whether it be selfishness, envy, jealousy, covetousness, greed, an untamed tongue, slothfulness, bitterness, pride, and lastly, how do we get rid of it? What is a good exercise program to get rid of spiritual fat? One, recognize it. We got to first be willing to say, this is a problem. Number two, and we really don't like to do this, but admit it. I've quoted it so many times. But old Fonzie on Happy Days, when he was, well, he was trying to get him to admit he was wrong, he'd choke it out. I was rude. We got to admit it, recognize it. Next, we got to confess it. James 5 and 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's just something about finding somebody that you can talk about your problems with. Confess it to them and say, I know I can pray, but would you pray for me? That is a humiliating and a spiritual uplifting situation, that we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It availeth much. And once we've recognized it, admitted it, and confessed it, ask God's forgiveness. Whether we pray or ask somebody to pray with us and for us. Because in our last verse, we don't want to be like Peter in 26 and 73 of Matthew. And after a while, came they unto Peter and said, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bereath thee. He should have said yes. They should have pointed up and said, I know that man, and I'm willing to die for him. But he didn't. And when it come time, the rooster crowed, and Jesus looked at him. We've got to get rid of our shibboleths by spiritual exercise. Thank you.